What woke you up today? Alarm clock. You know, it's funny because, you know, in the scripture, they talk all the time about wake up, don't be asleep. And really what it is Paul especially uses it as an illustration, but so does Jesus, uses it as an illustration to say, you've been asleep, wake up to what's around you. Wake up to the presence of God that's right here with you. Wake up and be alert to the life that's truly here. Don't be asleep. Don't be groggy. Be awake. Be awake. It's time to wake up. What woke you up this morning? An alarm clock. You know, I venture to guess that all of us got woken up in a certain way. Maybe it was an alarm clock. But maybe it was, you know, maybe it was the sound of birds chirping outside. Or maybe it was somebody else in the house getting up, rustling around, and making a lot of noise. Or it may have been something like your neighbors mowing their lawn or, you know, anything like that. Sometimes, though, think about it. Sometimes you wake up, especially if you wake up in the middle of the night. Sometimes, don't you wake up to sort of voices and worries that are going off in your head? Where you wake up at 2, 3 in the morning and you have a concern that you went to sleep with and you did get to sleep, but by God, 2 and 3 in the morning, 4 o'clock's my prime time. You know, where I think, oh my God, I got, what do I have to list for this next day? Those voices, those things that are going off. You know, the question I always have about that is, why is it that I have to wake up that way? I mean, even with an alarm clock, it's not exactly what you call a joyful noise. It's almost like a disruption of the peace that I had when I was asleep. And yet we're called to be awake, to have that peace that so often we find more often in sleep than we do when we're awake. And yet God calls us to move into that sense of being awake in the joy. You know, the psalm that we have today, Psalm 100, I had to learn when I was a little boy. I had to learn that in the 23rd psalm. Make a joyful noise, all you lions. Make a joyful noise. It doesn't say make a joyful song. It says make a noise. And I was good at noise. But what does joy really mean? You know, I mean, think about it. When was the last time you could honestly say that you felt joy? Now, don't confuse it with happiness, because joy is different than happiness. When was the last time you really felt a sense of joy? You know, happiness is something that's dependent upon external situations. You know, what is it? Happy Thanksgiving, happy Easter, happy birthday. You know, it's like, oh, we got everything in line. Happy is when, you know, everything comes together. You know, when all of a sudden the outcome turns out the way that I want it to, and I live happily ever after. But joy is different than happiness. Joy isn't dependent upon outcome. It's not dependent upon that external situation. Joy is something that takes place deep within inside yourself. I would venture to guess that a lot of the people walking this earth today have had happiness, but few have really had extended periods of joy. And if they did have extended periods of joy, they didn't even know it. Because joy is really where you're at peace with who you are, why you are, and how you are. And that peace of who you are, why you are, and how you are isn't dependent upon what everybody else is doing. And yet, look at your own life. I don't know about you, but for me, you know, if things in my family are going really well, I'm happy. If things in the parish are going, I'm really happy. If things are going well around in the world, then I'm happy. If the people that I want to have, you know, in positions of authority over me come into positions of authority, I'm happy. Most of that stuff never happens to me. You know, the family, the church, there's always problems. I mean, no offense, but, you know, working with people, this church would be great if we just didn't have people. My family would be absolutely incredible if I just lived by myself. But even when I lived by myself, as I always say, I lived in a dysfunctional family. So how do you get into that sense of joy? It really is coming to that place of peace where you know who you are, why you are, and how you are. The who, the why, and the how. The who is your identity. You know, in the psalm that we have today, it's quite interesting because it tells us who we are. What's it say? Make a joyful noise unto your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know this, the Lord himself is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Our identity is not in the occupation that you have done or do. It's not with who you're married to or who you're not married to. It's not who your mother and your father is. Your identity is you're a child of God. It's God who made you. And it's coming into that idea that, wait a second, I really am a child of God. And having that be the number one thing, rather than sort of one that goes down the list where you say, well, who are you? And you start listening to, well, I'm a priest, and, you know, my mother and father were this, and so on, and this is what I am. And then, oh, yeah, and I'm a child of God. It's not the last thing. It's the first thing. When you start getting the place where you say, I'm a child of God first, then all of a sudden something starts changing if you really believe it, that that is your identity. Do you believe it? Do you believe that you're a child of God and what that impact does on you? Because it changes everything if you really know you're a child of God. It means you're an heir to all that your Father in heaven has. That's pretty nice. It means that somehow you have divine quality within you. That you're not just a human being running around trying to make it and sort of beef yourself up. No, you already have, in a sense, a belovedness within you. After all, look at the baptism of Jesus. I always love that. You know, he goes out and he gets baptized. He's 30 years old. And he goes out and he's standing in the River Jordan with his cousin John. And all of a sudden, John lifts him out of the water and says, the Holy Spirit descends upon him in baptism and says, the voice comes from heaven. This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. You know, if you think about it, Jesus hadn't done squat yet. I mean, really? He hadn't preached a sermon yet. He hasn't healed anybody. He didn't raise anybody from the dead yet. He didn't change water into wine, which I like that trick. You know, he didn't walk on water. He didn't do any of that stuff yet. All he did was he always knew that his Father was in heaven. And because of that fact, his Father said, you're my beloved son because you really get it. I wish I could remember that every day, that my Father in heaven knows that I'm beloved, even when I screw up, that I really know that he does it. Because that changed my whole life, because that's my identity. I'm a child of God. The why you are. Well, that's your purpose. You know, most people think their purpose is the occupation that they have or the position they have in their family or whatever. But really, the why you are, your purpose is to live out of your identity, which means that you live out trying to live in the Spirit with love, peace, patience, kindness. It means my purpose in life is to care for those who cross my path, to care for them in one shape or another. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know, the gospel is pretty clear. It doesn't say, you know, and when I was hungry, you made this incredible meal, you know, 5-star. It says, I gave you some food. When I was thirsty, I gave you something to drink. And they're talking about water. They aren't talking about, you know, a vintage wine. You know, when I was, you know, naked, you clothed me. You gave me something to wear. When I was sick and in prison, it doesn't even say when I was sick, you healed me. It says, you came and visited and you took care of me. That's all it says. It's not complicated. And your purpose really is to do those things, to care about other people, to be kind to other people, to go beyond where you are right now. Because in doing so, somehow you're changed. I hate to do it. You know, we don't think our way into right acting. We act our way into right thinking. And the way we live it out, our purpose is to begin to act in the way a child of God acts. And how's that child of God act? By caring for other people. By not being so dang egocentric. That's the one I got to work on. You know, it's all about me. But where all of a sudden it's all about them. It's all about God. It's all about trying to care for other people. Not to the detriment of myself, where all of a sudden I'm sick and ill. But where all of a sudden I just care about people within my range of doing it. I don't have to get a huge outcome. All I got to do is give somebody something to eat, give somebody something to drink, clothe them, care for them, to love them. The how is quite interesting. Because the how is where you finally come to the place where you accept yourself as you are. You know what? I would venture to guess 90% of the people that I meet do not accept themselves as who they are. They might put up with it and say it like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I do get rough around the edges at times, you know, I accept that. But really, do you? I mean, the how is where you are no longer self-critical at every turn because you know you're a child of God and you know why you're a child of God. You know your identity, you know your purpose, and finally you come to the place where you say, you know, I really do accept where I am at this point. You can only do that in the moment. Because you know what? If you don't just do it in the moment, you're going to mess things up. Because it's hard to do it where all of a sudden you look at your entire life. I mean, think about it. I mean, anybody want me to list all the things I've done wrong in my life? I mean, you don't want to hear it. So it's hard for me to accept myself in all the things that I didn't do so well. But I can accept now that those things that I didn't do so well, hopefully, if I learn from them, made me the man that I am today. That I accept that. You know, I mean, as I have said to you before, you know, if you want a priest that is straightforward, you're really screwed up. Because, you know, I'm a divorced alcoholic, you know? You want me to keep going? You know, I mean, I've had handcuffs on me. I mean, you want to keep going? I mean, I can do that. You know, but I've got to accept that that stuff was life experience that wasn't so great at the time. But now at this point, you know what? I accept that's who I am. You know, no big deal. It molded and shaped me into the person I'm called to be. It made me so that I can empathize with other people that are in need. It brought me to a place where, gosh knows, I'm not perfect. But you know what? I can be my identity. You see, that's what Jesus is trying to get across, I think, in the gospel so well. It's where all of a sudden you live out that sense of joy that's within you, because you know who you are, you know why you are, and you know how you are. You live out that sense of joy that says, I'm okay with God. I am beloved. And I can give that belovedness away. Then all of a sudden you can come to a place where if you're sitting in front of the throne and the Son of Man does say to you, come, O blessed of my Father, you're going to look at him and say, when did we do that? I just did it naturally. Because when you have that sense of joy, you do those things naturally. You don't have to work at it. You might have to act your way into right thinking initially, but bit by bit, little by little, you're transformed to where all of a sudden you do it naturally. You know, a lot of us say that it's hard to do. And we go around and we think, well, if I'm a Christian, I just have to be nice to everybody. To tell you the truth, you don't have to be nice to everybody. But you do have to be kind to other people. You know, what does it say in Micah 6:8? It says, what is required of you, O man, but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. To love kindness, to be kind, is powerful. You know, I heard a guy say, Daniel Lebosky, believe it or not, he's the founder of Kind Snack Foods, but he gave a talk the other day, and I was listening to it, and he said this. He said, you know, a lot of people confuse kind and nice. Nice, you can be nice, but be passive. But if you're kind, it takes action. It means that you actually invest in another person. In other words, I can be nice. Somebody walks out, oh, how are you? And then walk away all the time thinking, who the heck's that? I don't want to talk to them. But if I'm kind, I got to go the extra mile. We're called to be kind. Why is it so difficult? It's not brain surgery. Why is it that we can't be kind when we go down a road? Why is it can't be kind when we're in difficult situations in our life? Why can't we be kind when we have family gatherings and your uncle's driving you crazy? Why can't we just be kind? Because it's not about whether or not he thinks, oh, he's got over on you. The kindness is because that's part of the process of you becoming what you're called to be. And you know what? And going to sleep at night and still having that joy, because nobody can take that joy away from you, and you got it. It's coming to that place where all of a sudden you do the little things. The feeding, giving drink, clothing. It's walking through it. I want to end with a story that actually is a true story. It's out at the University of Iowa. And at the University of Iowa, the Hawkeye Stadium actually is built right next to the University of Iowa Children's Hospital. And there's become a tradition at the University of Iowa that after the first quarter, the game sort of stops. And at that point, the whole 70,585, you know, fans that are in that stadium turn around and look up towards the children's hospital. On the top level of the children's hospital, families and their kids are up in this glass overlook of the stadium, and every fan turns up and waves to them. How hard is that? How much fun is that? They don't see those children, but those children see them. And those children's lives are changed just because it was a simple act of kindness that took action of people who said, you know what, I can go that extra mile. I can do it. You know what, you come to services this day. We're only 4 weeks away from Christmas. You got plenty of time to shop. But what will Christmas bring for you? Will it bring about a place where you really do feel joy? Where you say, I'm at peace with myself, of who I am, why I am, and how I am? Or will you depend upon, if everything goes right, that all the food is prepared in the right way, that the tree looks exactly the way you want it to, that everybody's acting right, and that your children or your grandchildren are just giving you the due respect that you deserve? Or are you going to come to the place where you just say, I'm at peace because I know who I am, I know my purpose, and I accept it? Because God has looked upon me and said, you are my beloved child, and I am pleased with you just because you're in relationship with me. I pray that you enter into that deep relationship with God that only you can do for yourself. No one else can. Because when you go into it, there will be a joy that will rise up in you that will be the best feeling you've ever had and the greatest spiritual quality that could lead you into this world. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with